Today we have two of our seminarians who are heading to the House of Formation this week. All of them return to seminary this week, so I ask you to please keep them all in your prayers. In a particular way for Deacon Luke Meyerhoff in his final year in preparation for his ordination next May. And then I also ask you to keep in your prayers Sister Marie Bronislava Dillard. 2 weeks from today, she'll make her final vows. And so at all the entrances of the church, we have spiritual bouquet cards. I'd like everyone to fill one out, offering prayers and sacrifices for her on this beautiful day in the life of her religious life. And then just bring them back to church or drop them off at the office, and I'll be taking those to her in 2 weeks when I go for her vows. The saints always provide a beautiful way for us to interpret the gospel. Today, we don't celebrate his day, although it is a feast on its own, St. Lawrence. And it's an interesting feast because it's rare that a deacon is a feast day. Feast day, its solemnity is the top, like we'll have the Solemnity of Mary's Assumption on Friday. That's the very top. And then you have feast days. Those are the next level, then memorials and optional memorials. And St. Lawrence, he's linked with Pope St. Sixtus II, whose feast day, Memorial Day, was just the other day. St. Sixtus was the Pope, and he was martyred. But before he died, he told St. Lawrence to make sure that he gave all of the treasure of the church to the poor. And so St. Lawrence, himself about to be arrested and martyred, the emperor said, "I want you to bring me all the treasures of the church." And so St. Lawrence, he even sold the vessels used at Mass, and he gave all the money to the poor. And then he brought with him to the emperor's palace the lame and the blind and all sorts of poor people. And he said to the emperor, "This is the treasure of the church." And the emperor, of course, was furious. Of course, the emperor had no faith. He did not know Jesus Christ, and that he said, "What you do to the least of my brothers, that you do to me." So he had no way to look at this in any way but anger and hatred, because all he wanted was money. He already knew that Catholics, anytime they had the opportunity, would sacrifice so that they had beautiful vessels to offer the Holy Mass. And that's what he was expecting. And so the poor were dismissed, and St. Lawrence was put on a gridiron and roasted. And it comes down to us that he said at one point, "You can flip me over, I'm done on that side." That's supposed to be funny. He's dying, and he still had a sense of humor. And the church, in her sense of humor, has made St. Lawrence the patron saint of chefs. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That one line in the gospel helps us to see where we fit in the rest of the gospel. Because the Lord uses this to say, there are servants who are on vigil. They are ready. They're ready right now. They're ready in the second watch, and they're ready at the third watch. They're ready for when the Master comes, no matter when he comes. Why? Because their treasure is in Christ, and that's where their heart is. But then he warns that the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And anybody who knows if a thief is coming is going to make sure that the house is ready so that the thief can't come in and take things. The Lord is not the one who's going to come in and take things, but he wants us to be vigilant so that at the hour we do not know or the day we do not know, we're ready for his coming. And if we aren't living the life of Christ, the chances of that being a true statement fall precipitously. So if we think about that statement, "For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be," we can use this for a little examination of conscience. Where is the treasure? Where do I put my heart? So, of course, the first thing that every Catholic should do, if their heart belongs to Christ, is they need to come to Mass. You can check that off the box, you're here. You cannot say that Jesus is my treasure and not come to worship the Father in Christ through the Holy Spirit. He will not say, you're right, don't worry about it, if you miss Mass, no big deal. It's a big deal if you don't worship God every week, unless there's a grave reason to keep you from that. Then, secondly, the other sacraments. Do I go to confession regularly? That's important. Pope John Paul II wrote in the 1980s on penance, and he said, the longer you don't go to confession, the less you know your own sins. And I've seen this before many times. People will think that they just don't do anything wrong. Well, the scriptures tell us in the Psalms that the just man falls 7 times a day. So confession is going to be part and parcel to help us to keep our heart where it's supposed to be, that the heart and the treasure are together with Christ. But that's not the only thing. So we go to Mass, we frequent confession, then we also have to pray. You know, the great commandment is to love God above all things. And so I don't think that we could justly tell him that I love you above all things and then not talk to him from Sunday to Sunday. In fact, you need to visit with him every day. You know, for priests, it's a little bit different. Before I was ordained, I remember someone saying, you're going to give your whole life to Christ, then you better give him time every day, at least an hour outside of Mass. And so I know many priests and seminarians have the practice of the daily holy hour. Now, it's not in the law that we have to follow, but I don't know how I could tell the Lord that he's my treasure if I didn't do it. Now, you don't have necessarily the opportunity to make a daily holy hour, but you could probably make a weekly one. And you can also make sure that you have some time each day that's set aside for the Lord. I'm not going to tell you what that time should be because I don't know what your day is like. But that has to be a reality for someone who says that Jesus Christ is the treasure and that's where my heart is. And then there's another layer. How do I speak and act? By our baptism, we're given the grace of the Lord. And as we heard in the opening collect, we're made his sons and daughters by adoption. How do I speak and act? Do I speak and act in such a way that it is clear that Jesus Christ is my treasure? And that can really be a difficult one for many people. I have a friend who is a priest, and after Mass one day, he was getting a good tongue lashing from one of the parishioners. And I can only think it was an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He asked the question, did you just receive Holy Communion? And of course, the person said yes. And he said, and that's the first thing out of your mouth? That's a good challenge for us. What's the first thing we think, say, and do when we leave Mass, after we've come into encounter with Jesus Christ, and when we've received him worthily, how do we take him out into the world so that everyone knows that he's my treasure and that my heart belongs to him? St. Lawrence did this, St. Sixtus, and so many martyrs of the early church, and you already know this, they converted the Roman Empire. Sometimes we have no idea of what it means, the power of what it means to say, I belong to Christ. And if I live that and you live that, we have an opportunity to change the world, just like St. Lawrence did. Even though it was about 75 years after he died, before the peace came, but that clear sign by the way he lived spoke volumes to everyone around. And then the other part is it helps us live this gospel. It helps us to be the servants who are prepared because we have all been given much. When you belong to Christ through baptism, you have been given a great gift. And so then we have to live the gift. We have to show that our heart and our treasure are in the same place, right in the hands of the Lord. And we know that when that happens, our feet are firmly planted on the road to the kingdom.